is a commercial-free, streaming on-demand presentation from 92.9 WBPM.
Sometime in 1994, Paul McCartney, one of the world's most successful songwriters and performers, received a somewhat shocking communication from his record company.
EMI were gearing up, we were all gearing up to do the anthology. And someone from EMI, I'm not sure who, but someone gave me the message, we don't need an album from you for a couple of years because we're doing the anthology. And at first I was a little pissed off. I thought, oh yeah, that's a, you know, year of little faith, typical record companies. I went through that one, you know. But then I thought, no, wait a minute, they're right. Number one, I want to concentrate on the anthology, because a lot of work there, a lot of getting that right to make sure that that was, you know, what we all wanted. And then also, I thought it'd be very unseemly for any one of us to suddenly release a solo album in the middle of all of that when we were really concentrating on the Beatles. Also stupid to try and go against the Beatles sales, but more than that, unseemly. So I thought, well, I won't bother then. But then, as a hurricane happened, I wrote a song. As I drove Linda to hear that, I wrote another song. So I started to have a little collection of songs going.
The songs kept coming over time, and while working on the Beatles anthology, Paul decided to leisurely begin work on a new album with a new old attitude. His first call went out to Jeff Lynne.
When I was working with the Beatles on the anthology, you know, the two new tracks, got to know Paul obviously really well because we were in the studio for quite a few weeks doing those tracks, and we got to be friends, and he seemed to enjoy the way I made records, and so he asked me over to go back and work on a few tracks that he'd written for his new album, which is now Flaming Pie. It was done in bits. You know, I'd fly to England and work for, say, probably the first time I went to England, we worked on three songs, which took 3 weeks to finish. Finished those, I came back here, and he called me up again, said, fancy coming to do some more? I said, yeah, love to. And it was a real pleasure because it wasn't like hectic recording. It was actually quite laid back.
That nice experience continued throughout the making of the new record, a song or two at a time, over a period that ranged from 1992 to 1996. And Paul's overall attitude?
As long as we can have a bit of a laugh. No, it's what it all grew from. The Beatles were not a serious group. No way. Now, I say, that's one of the things a lot of younger people have now discovered. And there always was a good sort of sense of humor. Okay, it got tense occasionally, you know, nothing's perfect. But it's an old Beatles story. We break down the motorway, lorries flashing by, and it's a midwinter Britain, it's freezing, it's bloody terrible. And we think, you know, anyone else, it's like, we'll die here. And this car's broken down. And we said, what are we going to do? And someone in the group says, something will happen. You know, indeed, great wisdom. And we always went with that. Yeah, something will happen. And, you know, sure enough, the lorry stops. Want a lift, lads?
Yes, we do.
Like a movie, you know, but yeah. Always something did always happen. And so this sort of this faith that something will happen. The great thing is, worrying won't help. Worrying is not going to get you anywhere. It'll just, you'll just worry, and it won't change anything, probably. But, you know, that's it. So I fancy just, you know, going for it, doing some stuff, playing some stuff, trying to get it right. Have a laugh on the way, and suddenly you've got an album.
And what an album. Flaming Pie marked the beginning of another creative role for Paul that has continued to this day. And this delightful album, chock full of outstanding, uplifting music, is getting the full McCartney Grammy-winning archive series treatment, including a numbered, limited 5-CD, 2-DVD deluxe edition box set made up of the original album, remastered at Abbey Road Studios, 32 bonus audio tracks, including unheard home recordings and demos, alternative studio recordings, rough mixes and B-sides, as well as Paul's hour-long tour of his studio, Flaming Pie at the Mill. There's also a 4-album, 5-CD, 2-DVD collector's edition, strictly limited to 3,000 numbered copies, issued in a cloth-wrapped 2-piece collector's box. That'll feature everything in the deluxe edition, plus a marbled art print portfolio of 6 silkscreen Linda McCartney art prints, vinyl versions of the remastered album cut at half speed across 2 albums in an exclusive gatefold sleeve, an album of home recordings in a hand-stamped white label sleeve, and the Ballad of the Skeletons, Paul's 1996 collaboration with Allen Ginsberg, released on vinyl for the first time with artwork etchings. You can also choose the 2-album or 2-CD or the 3-album or digital versions. All the flaming pie you can eat.
I'll tell you all the stories on these things, you know, and sometimes, like, I sort of think, well, I don't know if I want to use all the stories.
Hi, I'm Dan Neer. We can't fit in all the stories, but we'll squish in as many as we can over the next hour in the words of Paul and a couple of his guests on the album, like Ringo, Steve Miller, and Jeff Lynne. Welcome to Paul McCartney's Flaming Pie. All access.
I saw you sitting at the center of a circle. Everybody wanted something from you. I saw you sitting there. I saw you swaying to the rhythm of the music. Got you praying to the voice inside you. Saw you swaying there. I don't care what you wanna be. I go back so far, I'm in front of me. It doesn't matter what they say. They're giving the game away. Hey, hey. I can see the world tonight. Look into the secret conversation. You were crying, you were trying not to let them hear you. I heard you listening in. Never mind what they want to do. You got a right to your point of view. It doesn't matter what they say.
Fresh off the new Flaming Pie remastered archival release.
The World Tonight. Yeah, it ended up with a little bit heavier treatment. It was originally written on an acoustic, so it was a little more folky when I wrote it. That started off with, you know, I saw you sitting in the center of a circle. Everybody wanted something from you. I still haven't really worked out who I mean by that. It's not anyone I definitely mean, but it's a lot of people. There's a lot of us, you know, sitting in the center of a circle. Everyone wants something from you. We all know that one. And then I can see the world tonight, look into the future. And there's a line in there about, I go back so far, I'm in front of me. I don't know where that came from. I'm just singing, I go back so far, I'm in front of me. What? It's one of those, you know, I might have been writing with John, I might have questioned, well, yeah. But I think he would have gone, okay, leave that one. That's all right, we don't know what it means, but we know what it means. It was good fun doing that with Jeff.
The aforementioned Jeff Lynn.
Paul had given me a tape of quite a few demos, about 10 songs, and he sort of asked me which ones I fancied working on first, you know, and the one we actually worked on first was a song we were singing, which was a really quirky song, a lovely song, I really like it a lot. And how we started out really was just playing all the instruments together, you know, if there was a guitar, two guitars, we'd just play together, play the rhythm together, and we played lead together, and Paul played drums and bass, of course, and piano. And so it was really very much kind of a duo on most of the songs that we did together. It was very much, like I say, laid back and lots of fun. I really enjoyed it.
The song we were singing was, I was remembering 60s and all sitting around, dossing around late at night and chatting and smoking and drinking wine and stuff, you know, hanging out. So it all got to be about, you know, hey, we could smoke a pipe and talk about the vast intricacies of life. And it was all getting sort of Dylan-esque in the lyrics a bit. But we always came back to the song we were singing. We could do all this stuff. We could take a sip and see the world through a glass and talk about the cosmic solution. You know, which is what we were all doing, you know. What about, wow, have you heard about this mystic thing? Or you spent a lot of time doing in the 60s. Probably like a lot of young people now. It was the time for that. It's the time. That's that time in your life when you get a chance to do all that. And that was another one we kept very faithful to the original demo. I did that because the feel of a couple of those songs was so good on the demo. And what you can do is you can kill a song. You can lose all the atmosphere if you're not careful, because the demo sort of was when you did it. And there you can lose that inspiration. So we were careful not to. It's a bit like we were doing Real Love or Free as a Bird. We were having to take a demo, be very faithful to it, work around it like it was, that was it.
For a while we could sit, smoke a pipe and discuss all the vast intricacies of life. We could jaw through the night, talk about a range of subjects, anything you like, oh yeah. We always came back to the song we were singing at any particular time. Yeah, we always came back to the song we were singing at any particular time. Take a sip, see the world through a glass and speculate about a cosmic solution. To the sound, blue guitar, caught up in a philosophical discussion. Oh yeah. But we always came back to the song we were singing at any particular time. Yeah, we always came back to the song we were singing at any particular time. Smoke a pipe and discuss all the vast intricacies of life. Yeah, we could jaw through the night, talk about a range of subjects, anything you like. But we always came back to the song we were singing at any particular time. Yeah, we always came back to the song we were singing at any particular time. Yeah, we always came back. Take a sip, see the world through a glass and speculate about the cosmic solution. To the sound, blue guitars, caught up in a philosophical discussion. Oh yeah.
To the demo and the gorgeous studio version of the opening song on Paul McCartney's Flaming Pie, the song we were singing. You can find both on the newly remastered and expanded collections. At the time of the album's release, many favorably compared the album to the impossibly high standards of the Beatles. As you heard, Paul had just finished working closely with his mates George Harrison and Ringo on the anthology project and was filled with its spirit. There's also another connection.
When we started off as the Beatles in Liverpool, there was this local newspaper called the Mersey Beat, and we used to enjoy putting personal ads in it, which there'd be little jokey things. Philip wishes to hook up with Natalie for him, whatever, you know. And John was asked to do a little explanation of where we were at. And he did this typical Lennonese thing of, had a vision of a man on a flaming pie, and he said, "You shall be the Beatles with an A." And so it was. So that was always the explanation. People said, "Well, why are you called the Beatles?" So yeah, I just thought, I'm the man on the flaming pie. I thought, that's a good idea. And I thought, I'll write a song about that. And it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. And the character who is the man on the flaming pie is quite kind of cool, he's quite sort of mad. But he does say in it, "If you ever spend some time with me, you'll need a vacation." So he's quite self-depreciating, you know. I like the name, Flaming Pie. And there's a lot of heritage with it coming from that Mersey Beat article. And there's John's in it. So it had a lot of resonance and a lot of fond memories for me to use that as a title.
Making love underneath the bed, shooting stars from a purple sky. I don't care how I do it. I'm the man on the flaming pie. Stick my tongue out and lick my nose. Tuck my shirt in and zip my thigh. Go ahead, have a vision.
title piece of Paul McCartney's 10th solo album and 13th in his Grammy Award-winning archive series, Flaming Pie. That was recorded with producer Jeff Lynne. Paul McCartney is a rarity in music. Because he can play so many instruments, he does create music that features him playing with himself. And he took full advantage of himself on Flaming Pie.
I didn't want to sweat. When you get a group of people in, you're starting to sweat. Because you've got to talk to them sensibly. And you've got to communicate your ideas to them. And the bigger the team, you know, the more complex the ideas tend to become. And it's very difficult, you know. I remember, like in Hey Jude with the Beatles, you know, that terrible moment with me and George, where George was answering every little line, Hey Jude, no, 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 don't make it bad, no, 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 no. And I had to say to George, I don't think I want a guitar answer for every line of vocal, which is very awkward because I know exactly he's going to hate that. It's not a nice thing, you know. So, I like the idea of just playing with less people because it's less complex, it's simpler. And it's also something I've always done. As you say, from McCartney, yeah. It was something I did then. There's only a few people who can do it. It just happened to be drummers on the side and happened to play a bit of guitar and do this.
Every day she takes a morning bath, she wets her hair, wraps a doll around her as she's heading for the bedroom chair. It's just another day. Slipping into stockings, stepping into shoes, dipping in the pocket of her raincoat. The office where the papers grow, she takes a break, drinks another coffee, and she finds it hard to stay awake. It's just another day. It's just another day.
Paul McCartney on all the instruments with vocal harmonies provided by the lovely Linda McCartney, Another Day.
Hi, this is Steve Miller, and there'll be more Flaming Pie in a minute.
Steve will have more to say when we serve up some more Paul McCartney Flaming Pie All Access.
Now playing even more of the songs you love from 92.9 WBPM.
I know. Paul McCartney's Flaming Pie just makes you crave more. This is a celebration of the new deluxe and collector's editions of the album that are part of Paul's archive series. Another friend Paul roped in for a song on Flaming Pie was his longtime producer, the late George Martin. The song they worked on started when Paul agreed to drive his wife Linda to a photo shoot for her new cookbook at the time.
She was going to have photographs taken and do stuff for her new cookbook. So, seeing as I'm just driving, I like to keep out of the way then. You know, I can't sit around and offer suggestions and stuff. So, one of the little things that I did on that day was I said to the lady in the house, I said, have you got a little room somewhere that I can just go away with? And I brought my guitar with me. She said, well, yeah, I've got my son's room. It's nearly always one of the kids' rooms they give me. And so I was sat in that room, and I make up a little sort of fantasy. I think, well, now they're going to be 2 or 3 hours. And when it's all done, they're going to say to me, well, did you get bored? You know, what did you do? And so I'll be able to say to them, oh, I wrote a song. So I kind of take that time and set myself that deadline. And I've done it on 2 songs on this album, actually, on Some Days and Young Boy. Funnily enough, the two worked out quite well. So I just started writing and on my guitar and came up with Some Days. And then Linda came in, she said, all right, we're done, you know, ready to go home. What did you do? Oh, I just did this song. Play it to us, go on. And, you know, I like that. It's like a little game, as I say, you know, just I finished the song. Then I quite liked the song. It was a nice little song. And I came to the studio and recorded it myself, pretty much. And then when I got the final version of that, I thought it was a nice ballad, so it just maybe could use a little something. So I rang George Martin up and said, hey, George, because, you know, after the anthologies, there's not really that much an excuse to work with him anymore. And obviously, you know, the Beatles had finished a long time ago. So he's such an old friend and so nice to work with that it's great to find an excuse, you know, just to work with himself. Right, this song needs an arrangement. Who better to do it than George? So I spoke to him. I said to him, oh, by the way, George, look, I've got this little tune. What do you think, you know? He said, oh, I see you haven't lost your touch, Paul. Good old George.
Some days I look at you with eyes that shine. Some days I don't believe that you are mine. It's no good asking me what time of day it is, who won the match or scored the goal. Some days I look, some days I look into your soul. Sometimes I laugh to think how young we were. Sometimes it's hard to know which way to turn. Don't ask me where I found that picture on the wall, how much it cost or what it's worth. Sometimes I laugh to think how young we were. We don't need anybody else to tell us what is real. Inside each one of us is love, and we know how it feels. I cry for those who live in fear. Some days I don't remember why I'm here. No use reminding me, it's just the way it is. Who ran the race or came in first? Some days I cry for those who fear the worst. Tell us what is real inside each one of us is love, and we know how it feels. Some days I look at you with eyes that shine. Some days I don't believe that you're. It's no good asking me what time of day it is, who won the match or scored the goal. Some days I look into your soul.
Combination of the home recording and the finished version of Some Days, newly remastered for the Paul McCartney archive release of Flaming Pie and written in just a few hours as a challenge to himself.
It's just a little fun thing I like to do, you know. It's like John and I used to do it occasionally, you know, that I don't think we ever really took more than kind of three or four hours on a song. I'd come to visit him, he'd come to visit me, we'd sit down, do a song. And in those days, you had to do them quite quickly anyway. So it's nice to impose that little deadline on yourself. It's just a bit of fun. It's a little game. You say, right, in the next 3 hours, I'm going to come up with a song, no matter what happens. So, because you've set yourself this deadline, when you get a kind of, ooh, what am I going to do? Instead of going, oh, I'll put it off, you go, nah, this has got to be ready when they say, what did you do? It's good. It focuses you.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go? While you see it your way, run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out, we can work it out. Think of what you're saying, you can get it wrong and still you think that it's alright. Think of what I'm saying, we can work it out and get it straight or say goodnight. We can work it out. There's a chance that we might fall apart before too long. We can work it out, we can work it out. Life is very short and there's no time for fussing and fighting, my friend.
Work it out. a song that the team of Paul McCartney and John Lennon put together quickly. Paul adds star power to the recordings when we serve up our final piece of pie. Paul McCartney Flaming Pie All Access returns after a few minutes so we can clear the palate.
I got blisters on my fingers!
The variety is the difference. 92.9 WBPM, playing just great songs.
Hi, this is Steve Miller, and welcome back to a look at Flaming Pie.
I'm Dan Neer. Glad you could join us for the final segment of Paul McCartney Flaming Pie, All Access. Paul was having a blast, taking his time doing a song here and a song there for Flaming Pie. Another blast from his past was invited to work with him on a few songs, Steve Miller.
And I hadn't seen Steve since one night in the 60s when there'd been an unfortunate Alan Klein meeting with the Beatles in the middle of all our troubles. And I'd resisted their efforts to push to sign something for the business thing. And I'd said, no, it's not a good thing. We should think about this. They all said, ooh. And they all sort of went off with Alan Klein. And I was left at the studio, and Steve Miller happened to be around. He stuck his head around the door. He said, hi, man, you know, does that mean the studio's free? I said, I suppose it is. You know, I don't think we would get much recording done tonight. He said, oh, can I do something? How do you fancy doing something? I said, all right, just let me drum. No, I was in a sort of not very good mood after the meeting. By about 3 or 4 in the morning on that Beatles occasion, that was out at Olympic in Barnes, we'd done a track which was called My Dark Hour, one of Steve's tracks.
Steve Miller invited Paul to his studio, which he had at the time in Sun Valley, Idaho.
When I'm working with Paul, everything is one take, and it's like, be great instantly, and here we go, and there we were, you know. And that's the thing that I really enjoy and find really inspirational from, you know, working this way, was that it sort of got me out of, you know, sitting in the studio and thinking and working and thinking and working. And this was just a lot more fun. And that's the way we approached everything. Now, when Paul showed up with his songs, he knew exactly how those songs went. And he wrote the vocal backgrounds for me to sing on Young Boy. You know, he showed me what he wanted me to do on the tunes that he had all thought out.
So, again, here I got in a little bedroom, one of the bedrooms, and was sitting around and just starting to play some chords. I liked C, A minor, E minor, nice little sort of simple chords. And a song came up, which was a poor boy looking for a way to find love. But poor boy reminded me like an old Elvis song, and poor boy just had too many connotations. So I thought Young Boy is like better anyway. I like the words better. So switched that round and started making up this song, you know, just thinking about all the young people I know who are in that position. A lot of my kids' friends, you know, who are sort of starting off on a romance or starting to find their partners or whatever. And I just, that just became a subject, you know. I remember it well enough myself. I mean, I remember the thought process. You think, oh, there's somebody out there who's for me, but how am I ever going to meet her? There's 300 bloody million of them. How the hell am I going to meet the right one? It's very perplexing at that age. You think, fingers crossed, you know, that's all you can do. And the song kind of wrote itself then. So that was Young Boy. And as I say, went to Idaho and did it with Steve, with us, just the two of us on the record, which was nice.
He's just a young boy.
from the sonically perfect Flaming Pie McCartney archive release, Young Boy. The pièce de résistance of guests who appear on Flaming Pie is Paul's friend and bandmate, Ringo Starr.
He does play the most melodic, beautiful bass. You know, he can also play rock, but he's melody-wise. I think two things happen. One, we know each other, and, you know, we know how we played together all those years ago. So it's not like, you know, just for this was special. It's always special when he plays, because he's just a brilliant, beautiful human being with a great sense of music and melody. He's the most melodic bass player I know.
For years, I've been saying to Ringo, because we've never really done much work outside the Beatles, and I've been saying to him, oh, it'd be great to do something, you know, because we got our friendship going again with the anthology. What do you fancy? And he said, oh, yeah, we'll do something. And I'd had a song called Beautiful Night, which I wrote quite a long time ago, like quite a few years ago. And I'd always liked it, and people who'd heard it had liked it, but I'd never felt it was the right version of it. I just hadn't quite pulled it off. And so I got Beautiful Night out, sorted it out, got the chords and stuff and all that. Changed a few of the lyrics. The lyrics had got a bit boaty. Did all some boats on the ocean, tackle all over the place, you know. So I thought, right, well, that's all right for one line or one verse. So I cleaned it up a little bit. I was happy with it then, and he came along. So it was really nice. We sat down. I sat on the piano. We just started. So it was really like old days. And I realised we haven't done this for so long, you know. And it was so comfortable because, you know, it is that thing, if you've known someone that long and done so much work with them, unless you both completely lose the plot or get angry with each other or something, you know, it's sort of still there, you know. So it very much was, you know, and it was lovely to work with them again.
Someone's gone out fishing, someone's high and dry, someone's on a mission to the lonely Lorelei. Some folks got a vision of a castle in the sky, and I'm left stranded, wondering why. You and me together, nothing feels so good. Even if I get a medal from a local neighborhood, I won't need a castle. They've got castles in Versailles. And I'm still stranded, wondering why.
Thank you.
Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Jeff Lynne, and Linda McCartney on background vocals, Beautiful Night, as heard on the new archival release of Flaming Pie. Paul and Ringo played together live as recently as July 13th of 2019 at Paul's concert at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles.
Ringo got up and we were doing Helter Skelter together. It's a sort of magic. And he and I these days get quite emotional about it because we should. We ought to. It's a bloody emotional thing, you know, the years, if nothing else.
I got blisters on my fingers!
Sadly, that's the last song we have time for on our show. Now, before we go, we'll get a couple of final thoughts. First up is album guest star Steve Miller.
The way I felt about the album was it wasn't so much just one song. I was just really glad to hear all these great new songs from Paul because he's one of my favorite songwriters. And it had been a while since he had written some tunes. And I think the whole album is just a great, you know, accomplishment. And especially I really like the symphonic pieces.
And the last word goes to Paul.
Listening to all the old Beatles stuff took me back, and it was like reliving it. So during the making of the anthology, I was that Beatle again. I mean, I've told you, you know, I used to sit down listening to the early takes and be really scared I was going to make a mistake on the bass. Sitting there going, God, I'm so relieved when the take came around. And somebody sort of said, no, it's all over, man. It's all done, you know. These have been hits. You know, it's okay, you don't need to worry, but I hope I don't make the breakdown, you know, suddenly and it's as embarrassing as it was the first time, you know. So, but that allowed me to kind of relive the whole thing. And again, you know, just reminded me of the standard we reached and the standard that a lot of the young kids are emulating now. So I thought, well, it's great if they're going to emulate it, but why not? Why shouldn't I emulate it? It's really just a continuation for me. So it was nice, and I say that thing of looking at an album and trying to make sure they were all tracks I liked. So I've tried to do that on this one, and it seems to be a bit of a thing that people are saying about it. You know, there's that track, there's this track.
Get any of the archival release versions of Paul McCartney's Flaming Pie wherever you buy music. And if you want to hear more interview and more songs from it, listen to Paul McCartney's Flaming Pie All Access podcast wherever you hear your favorite podcasts. Paul McCartney, Flaming Pie All Access, was produced in New York and New Jersey by Near Perfect Productions for MPL Capital UME, all rights reserved. No portion may be reproduced without the written permission of the producers. Special thanks to all the good folks at MPL Communications and Jamie Hartley of UME. I'm Dan Near. Thanks for listening.